Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls right here today on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist?
You definitely need...
I should go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just... nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Hello, Dr. Henry Cloud.
Hello, Stevie.
Dr. Jill Hubbard. And all of you out there, thank you for coming. Welcome to New Life Live. Good to be with you here today. And April the 8th. You know, Easter's late this year. Got a late Easter. I think it's the 24th or something like that. I mean, most years we'd already be into the Easter eggs and stuff like that.
Know.
But no. This year, it's coming a little late.
Now we know what Steve looks forward to.
I know.
It's true.
Hey, Easter's great. We have a huge family egg hunt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with a little 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, 4.5-year-old.
No, this is, we do it at our house till you're 40.
Till you're 40?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, that must make the 40-year birthday a really sad day.
Yeah, it is.
Talk about
it. It is, especially because there's money in some of those eggs, so... That's
not only that, you turn 40 and
and you get kicked
your
out of
Easter
the egg
life
hunt.
Egg thing is over.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you know my story about Easter? The first Easter I remember is that I watched them.
Am I going to need Kleenex for this?
You may. But I watched
kind of tearing up.
My mother hide the golden egg. That was the big deal in the big Easter hunt in the lot next door to ours. I watched her hide it underneath the water hydrant.
And so the golden egg was one everybody was trying to get
right.
to. Is that the like the?
And I was less than two, but I knew that was the prize, and I knew where she put it. And I went over there, and I looked in the hole, and I looked all around, and it wasn't there. And I just knew it was there, and I kept. So when the Easter egg hunt was over, I had no eggs and no golden egg, and some other girl found it up in a tree where they had put it. After they realized I had seen it, and they re-hid it. Mm. It's a very, very traumatic experience. So later in my teen years, I took that out on people by throwing eggs at their cars and their homes, and that seems to have...
That helped you work
that
through it?
Very therapeutic. Yeah, very therapeutic. Yeah. Anyway,
I wonder what the moral to that story is.
I think it might be that sometimes we need to face reality...
At an early age.
Or we end up with nothing. How many people are going for the golden egg and get it?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking in the wrong place. And it's the earlier that you can move away from that, if it's not reality.
Now, not to impugn the character of an 18-month-old.
Yeah.
But I was thinking... Had you confessed that you saw where the golden egg was, then your mother would have said, well, it's really not there. Go look some other place.
If I had had the character at 18
at
months
18
to do
months.
That,
that's why I'm saying.
I could have avoided a lot of other problems later in life. But the character didn't come till later. So, and that's the big
so,
part of
but
the
you could, and this is actually a sign of mental health, Steve. You know, there are psychological tests. That they have questions built in there. Said, did you sometimes steal things as a child? And if you put no, you go in the sick category because everybody did something like that. And if you didn't, you're not normal or you're lying.
Okay.
Right?
I have to tell you, my friend Brad, when they asked that question for him to become a police officer, he put no because he actually had not ever stolen. I mean, this guy's got more character than anybody I've ever seen. He was consistent in his life. And so they took him aside and said, look, you know, this is ridiculous. But sure enough, he had never, ever taken. So he was the exception.
I remember stealing.
Yeah, me too. All right, we'll take a break right after this.
Jill stole.
Yep, I did.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we are back. Let's talk with, if you don't mind, let's talk with Vel from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hello, Vel. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you today?
Great. I just have a question as far as divorce. I've been married for 3.5 years now.
Okay.
And the 3.5 years were really bad.
Really bad?
Really bad.
You're still married?
And yes, we're still married.
Okay, here's the question that we've got to ask. How bad were they? What happened?
About 8 months after we had gotten married, mm-hmm. he stole a substantial amount of money from me.
Hmm.
4 months after that, he gave me a disease. 4 months after that, we found out that he has another disease that I have to be tested for every 6 months.
Hmm.
He was constantly cheating with different women.
Mm-hmm.
He said it wasn't cheating, but it was cheating. We broke
what
up.
Did he call it? Fudging? What, you know, what,
I don't
just
know
a little crummy thing?
Definition
or?
Was.
Yeah.
But he moved in with another woman.
Uh-huh.
We got back together.
Why? Why did you get back together?
Why did we get back? I had gotten saved in 2009 because I was, before we got married, I was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of us being married, I met a Christian woman who planted a seed in my heart, and I accepted Christ in 2009.
Okay, but he didn't.
His mother is a pastor.
Okay, so you thought, just now that you're a Christian, just let's just put this back together and everything's going to be okay?
Let's put this back together.
All
and
right.
He came to me, and he was saying, I want to go to church. I've done wrong. I'm sorry. We can make this work.
Okay.
So we started going to church, then he dropped off. He continued to cheat.
Okay, so what's the question
what's
for
the
us?
Question?
The question for me is, we are no longer living together.
Mm-hmm.
He said if he couldn't live the way he wanted to live, then he didn't want to be with me.
Okay, what's the question?
What is
the
way, harem?
Yeah, is that what he meant by that? The way he wanted to live, by cheating all the time?
Basically, and me accepting it.
Oh, he wanted you to go along with this program.
He wanted me to go along with the program.
Ah.
Now, and he even blamed me. You know, it's your fault.
Okay, so what's the question?
Now, were you wanting to stay with Captain Contagious?
I was willing to work it out because we had already gone through it. It was no fixing what had happened.
Yeah.
It had already happened.
Right.
So he said he didn't want to be with me if he couldn't live the lifestyle that he wanted.
Right. And that's not agreeable to you, we're presuming.
Exactly.
Okay,
so
what's the question?
I talked to my pastor, and my pastor tells me, she says, if you divorce him, you have to be prepared to be single for the rest of your life.
What does that mean? Anybody that divorces has got to be prepared to be single, but what does that mean specifically that it doesn't mean in the obvious?
She didn't go into detail. She was telling me I would be wrong, and I guess that would be my punishment for divorcing him. I don't know. and I spoke with another.
She didn't know about his infidelity?
You know what? Other than the direct words of Jesus, she's absolutely correct. You know, if Jesus hadn't come and spoken a word here on earth, she'd be correct. But she is going absolutely against mm-hmm. what Jesus said. First of all, let's just take a real theoretical approach here. Jesus says, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved and freed by him. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what is this that you're going to divorce and then you're going to be condemned by God?
Right. And I spoke with another pastor.
And we are very anti-divorce here, but mm-hmm. but she's right. just off on
right.
on because you know you've got your consequences of divorce, and God will walk through you through those consequences.
Right.
But it's not fun, and it's not pretty, and it's ugly, and God mm-hmm. hates it. But Jesus did say everybody needs to stay married. Well, there are a couple of exceptions here, mm-hmm. and he said you are one of those exceptions. You specifically, Vel, are one of those exceptions.
Okay. Good. I needed to
Do
know
you
it.
Not think you're one of those exceptions?
Well, because how it's been brought to me, and I like I said, I just accepted Christ in 2009.
Oh, so this is all new.
Okay, we forgot about that.
We get that.
Yeah.
Now we understand.
Okay.
Now,
so
what
as
kind
I'm reading, and I'm like, okay, it says I'm no longer bound if he decides to leave. What does that mean? What is that telling me? Because I had another pastor tell me, if you divorce him, you divorce God.
And what?
Like, oh, my
what?
Goodness.
Wait a minute. Is this another pastor at that church?
This was actually my husband's mother, who's a pastor.
Well, she's going to be a little biased.
She thinks that it's okay for her son to be out there having a harem, and you're supposed to stay in like that?
Basically.
Okay. You know what? I'm looking at your city there. I'm not going to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some really good churches
mm-hmm.
in that town.
Mm-hmm.
Really good churches.
Wow. Well, I need to find a really mm-hmm. good church.
Yeah.
Just north of town.
Just west of town.
Yeah, west of town. There's a really good church.
A really big one.
Okay.
Really nice people.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I don't want to say your you can say your town out loud, but I won't do it.
Okay.
But if you do, I'll tell you the church.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You really must not enable him anymore, allow that behavior to be considered worthy of marriage. He has offended you and broken those vows over and over again. And Jesus has said it is okay for you to leave that person. And doesn't it make sense that it's okay? Otherwise, you're essentially endorsing what he does and mm-hmm. saying this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay.
Based on the fact that he has cheated, Vel, he's broken the vows, and so you are free. For him, it's a different story, but for you, you are free. And if you stay, really, you've seen what you've gotten thus far, you will just be into a life of more of the same.
What his mother should be saying to him is when you cheat on her, you are cheating on God.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's told me I'm stupid because I pray. So,
well, I don't care about that. He's a very, very lost person. He has given up all right to be listened to on any subject.
Right.
Now, what was his faith path? I forgot. His mother's the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You were Muslim.
I was, yes.
Right? Yes. You came to faith in Jesus.
Yes.
And his path was what?
I really don't know. You know, when I've tried to talk to him about it, he's just, I don't know if something happened to him when he was young. I have no idea.
You came to faith after you were married?
Yes.
Right. Okay. How did that happen, by the way? Is there any way to say that in 30 seconds? You said somebody planted a seed, and then what happened? You were Muslim, and then how?
And it's just what she said to me, and it just struck a chord. And I started reading the Bible. I didn't own a Bible, and I had to go buy a Bible. Mm. And I just started reading it, and just the Word of God it was like a light.
You know what?
That's so cool.
One of my favorite things to do is I read a lot, and I mean a lot, of Muslim conversions. And it seems like in the world right now that God is supernaturally speaking to more and more Muslims kind of on their own like that.
Yes.
That those stories are just, there are websites just with tons of stories, you know, dreams and visions and all sorts of things. But like you, somebody gives them a Bible and they read it and God just speaks to them.
Yes.
It's really cool. Okay, so you wanted to know about divorce and appropriateness?
Yes.
And you've heard it from us.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm going to send you a copy of Henry's book, Necessary Endings, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. Let's go to Adam, Rapid City, South Dakota. How you doing? Oh. Adam, how you doing, Adam? Adam?
Yeah.
Hey.
Adam, we thought you pocket dialed us there for a second.
That's funny. So how you doing there? How could we help you? What's going on?
Hey, I called in. I appreciate you guys. The show. You guys do a lot of good work. I'm calling in. I have a question. It's relating. I'm in a marriage. Been together for 15 years, married for 11, 12 years, high school sweethearts. We're going through, I guess, let's say our second round of divorce, but we filed for a divorce for a year and a half, 2 years ago. And now we're going through a second round.
Well, wait a minute. By second round, you filed and then you backed off and now you're filing again?
Yeah, we've already filed, for the second time.
Okay. But you did not get divorced and remarried?
No.
Okay. Okay.
So what I'm looking at is, you know, she wanted to go to counseling a couple months ago, and I pushed the divorce deal for a financial reason or for security for them from what I've been dealing with over the last few years. And there's a lot of other bad history. But now I want to go. I mean, religion has been brought back into my life, and I want to go to counseling, want to do this stuff, but she's saying it's already too late. And we've got two kids. I mean, I can't see being with anybody else. I mean, we spent most of our lives together.
Mm-hmm. Why does she say it's too late?
She said, you told me to move on. I told you to. In December, I was, the financial deal was, I fought the government, and I have racked up this large bill to keep my job. So I work a full-time job, 40 hours a week, and then I work another full-time job ranching. I've been doing that for almost 10 years or better, and my goal to ranch. So, you know, as our relationship starting out, you know, how marriage goes, kids, family, you know, career, goals, you kind of pull apart. And it never really sank into me until about 3 months ago or so. You know, we were pulling apart, you know, the things that should have been blinking red to me, for anybody that was, eyes are open, should have noticed. I never noticed them.
Okay, so how could we help you?
I'm just wondering what, in any way, is there to regain the trust, regain all the stuff that I damaged. I mean, it goes both ways, but I'd say, you know, she's told me she had feelings for this other guy that's been involved in our lives, not a lot, a little bit in the last year we met, and now he's more Catholic than you or Christian than you are.
So that's why she's saying it's too late, because she's having feelings for someone else, and that's always fun and exciting in the beginning. Yep. One of the things I'm thinking is that whether it's too late or not, we don't know. You guys have been down this path before. But because you do have children, I think it would be important to go to counseling together to work on at the very least, helping the kids and co-parenting. Because you guys are in this forever, whether you divorce or not. And you have to have some form of relationship. And sometimes that's a way to get in there and start talking. And then you can talk about, you know, what went wrong. And sometimes that helps to kind of a backdoor approach to mm-hmm. bringing it back around.
And a lot of times people like you come to New Life Weekend. They stay in separate
marriage weekend.
They stay in separate rooms because they're not together. Yeah. But they go to into the group and they talk these things through. And it one of two things. Either they get back together and it's a good reigniting the passion mm-hmm. and the fire and the flame. Or they walk away saying we did everything that we can do and now we're going to be partners in this parenting thing because they've worked out some of those irritating issues. Henry?
I agree. I think that any kind of structure in the way that you guys could get together and start to talk would be important. But I do have a couple of thoughts for you after the break about how you rebuild trust.
Ooh, good.
And what might help you further down that path. So why don't you stick with us and we'll be back.
All right. You are listening to New Life Live. If you'd like to join us on the program, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you support us with a gift of $50 or more, we'll send you Life Recovery Bible or Every Man's Bible. That's our gift to you. We'll be back after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Henry, you had some observations or some things you want to talk about in this second round of divorcing.
Yeah. A couple of things. First of all, in relation to her, you know, generally speaking, I think the best approach is when you sort of almost like fall on your sword and go and just say, you know what, I've been thinking about this, and I can see a lot of things that I did wrong. I can understand why you would be hurt. I can understand, you know, a lot of it. But I'm a little limited in my understanding because I really want to hear it from you. And I want to really, really understand all the ways that I hurt you. And I want you to tell me. And just lay it out there. And then what happens when you do that, if you can engage her in that, she starts to talk about it, and you don't defend and you don't negate and you really try to learn about her heart, then she gets into the hurt of it all. And when she gets into the hurt and she's feeling safe, the pain is going to come. And if you can connect with that, then sometimes that really softens things. And she realizes you're not telling her you're going to be different. You are being different in the moment. And there's a connection that can kind of start there. And when I've seen things turn around, that's been, you know, what has to happen, that mm-hmm. that she or he has to really feel understood and not negated and try to persuade it into something. So
probably that's
there.
What's been missing.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other question I have for you, you said that recently you have had some more or different or some kind of interest in faith. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Well, I've always listened to the radio station stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a close call, an accident almost, per se. And when I was going through the ditch, all I could think about is my family. And, you know, that was kind of a wake-up call. You know, everybody's, I mean, I work, I probably sleep 4 to 6 hours a night. I mean, I work a full-time job, high-stress job. Mm-hmm. My outlet is farming and ranching. My dad passed away when I was young, and I always wanted to buy the place back that we started with. It's always been my goal, even at the beginning of the marriage. And you know.
And it might have been a higher goal than connecting with her, and that's what she felt.
Yeah, in a way. She said she understood the goal, but now she's, you know, going, kind of going down a different path.
Right.
Well, but, I mean, really my path is that was my path, is take my family to have this. Really, if without family, that has no purpose or meaning to me.
Right. And the God part, you had this kind of like near-death wake up?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you...
I've always been so busy, I've never been... I mean, I work two full-time jobs.
Well, you're cultivating your job instead of your family.
Right. What I wanted to ask you, though, is this an interest, or do you have a relationship with God?
Yes, I do have a relationship with God.
Okay. You do?
Yes.
Well, here's why I ask. You've got a, you know, you got a tough path in front of you. Either way this goes, it's not going to be bumpy. And here's what I've learned in life, and I think everybody at this table would say that whatever your path holds, that you want to have him holding you down that path. And so as you approach her, or as you approach the next season of your journey, that ongoing moment by moment relationship with Jesus, he will be your shepherd, and pour into that relationship in this with the same vigor that you want to pour back into your marriage now. And whatever way it goes, he will be there with you. And I just wanted to encourage you to do that, just in case you hadn't done that, but you say you have. So just abide in him, and he will make it a fruitful path either way.
Hmm. So, as far as, you know, and I've already sat down and talked to her and trying to ask her what I could have done, you know, her feelings, when I wasn't there and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she says it's just too late. She's already shut down. She's already, you know, she's done. She's cold. She's, you know, fallen out of love or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She said when she moved back in a year and a half, 2 years ago, she says, I was still reeling and hurt from the going through the process of the financial stuff for the last divorce and what the lawyer had done and the hurt that I had felt and you know, we had went counseling and stuff and I kind of, she said she was fully into it and I was still
right
holding back. I didn't know.
You weren't there like you are now.
Yeah. And,
no.
You know, let me just give a perspective on that. She says it's too late. Yeah. That there really is no such thing as too late. Too late is what a heart decides, not something that's written in the stars.
Right.
And hearts change, but hearts don't change without, you know, being kind of brought back to life. And so that's your job, is to do everything possible mm-hmm. to bring her heart back to life.
Yeah.
Because it really, too late is a decision. Yeah. It's not a reality.
Well, it's a statement about the extent of her hurt. You've hurt me so bad, it's beyond.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah. All right. I'm so glad you called. I hope something we've said is helpful to you. And I want to send you Healing is a Choice and hope that will be a blessing to you. And anybody else, all the resources, they're available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or at newlife.com. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. I want to talk to you about our trip to Israel that's coming up. We'd love for you to be there. Also, if you support the ministry, $50 gift will send you either the Everyman Bible or the Life Recovery Bible. Our gift to you. We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. You know, we're going to Israel June 16th. June 6th through the 16th, Stephen Curtis Chapman, John Townsend, Milan Yurkovich, Sherry Denham, myself. I want to show you a little clip I did on the temple steps when I was there a few weeks ago, and then I want to tell you what we're going to do on those temple steps. These are the steps that Jesus walked up when he entered the temple. Let me show this to you. Today we're here on the steps, the very steps that Jesus walked up, went through that gate that's closed off now, and went into the temple. You have to experience walking the very steps of Christ. Come experience New Life in the Holy Land with us in June 2011.
Okay, and the thing that's going to happen on those steps is that Stephen Curtis Chapman is going to do a concert. We're going to all be there, right there where Jesus stood and
that's
walked and
so
talked
cool.
and taught.
I forgot to tell you something.
Okay, tell me.
I have an inspirational story about this
Let's
trip for
hear
you.
Hear it.
I ran into someone. I won't mention their name, but I ran into someone who said, "You're not going to believe what happened." And I said, "What?" And they said, "I heard about the New Life trip to Israel." And they said, "I just, you know, I never had thought about doing anything about, you know, anything, you know, like that, and I didn't have the money and all this, and I can't remember all the circumstances." But people began to, she began to pray about it, and people began to somehow appear and nudge her. And then as she prayed, because she had no money, the money started appearing
wow.
from all over the place. And this person is so excited.
It's going to be great.
And it's part of a spiritual revival that she's going through and a bunch of stuff. So,
well, let me say this.
What I was going to say is if you're out there and you know, just ask God. Maybe God will make a way for you to go.
Absolutely.
He does that.
Well, it's going to be great for us married folks. But if you're single and you were ever going to go to Israel, this is the trip to take. Two singles coordinators, and Israel is one thing, and the people you do it with are another. And we are such a fun-loving group.
Now, singles coordinators, have you got an Israel matchmaking thing going on here?
I don't know. We may
Henry,
have to go.
Your mind is always thinking that way.
We may have to go with IsraelMatch.com or something.
Wrote How to Get a Book Worth Keeping.
How to Get a Book Worth How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. Yeah, yeah, I might, you know.
That's right.
You got to be thinking.
See, I was saying How to Get a Book Worth Keeping. when are you going to write one of those?
Yeah. Anyway, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to join us in Israel, and we would love for you to come. It's not
1-800-GET-A-SPOUSE.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's talk with Sarah, calling from Washington, D.C. WAVA is that station. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help
Hi.
You?
Hi. Steve, first I just want to say that I've been listening since before you were on this program and
really?
Ever since.
Well,
wow, that's
are,
a long time.
Yeah, that's over 20 years or,
yeah,
or over 15 years.
It's really grown my life. It's been
Thank
wonderful.
You.
And you guys, everybody on now is superb, and you just have a wonderful ministry, and it's changed my life, and I'm a member of New Life.
The Club New
wow.
Life, you're a member?
Wow,
Thank
very
you.
Cool.
Thank you. Our, that club is growing. We just had 150 people sign up for Club New Life. Isn't that
wow.
cool?
Yeah, well,
cool.
you know, there's a lot of us who really depend on the wisdom we get every day from your show, and the thought of losing you or for other people not to be able to get you, it's just not acceptable. So we're just all
Thank
finding
you.
The funds.
Thank you very much. Now, how could we help you today?
Okay, a few weeks ago, I think I heard you say to a woman who called who was her marriage was ending like mine, and you said, she seemed very calm. You said, have you gone through the screaming and the crying over the hurt and the pain it's caused you? Because she seemed so calm. And you said, I think you said that's a very necessary step. And it just took off such a weight from my shoulders because I didn't realize how much guilt I was carrying for not handling it in perfect control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, but there is a difference in how that anger and all gets expressed. I mean,
sure.
if you do it in the safety of a counselor's office or in a support group, then it really can be beneficial. If you lash out at somebody, then yeah. the tendency is for them to try to lash back even
right.
stronger. So
yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But even in counseling, I felt like if I didn't remain composed,
mm-hmm.
then I was going to be shut down.
Yeah, and that's not mm-hmm. being real, is it?
No, because I could never move on until I got it out.
And you did
and
get
then
it out?
Since I got it out, I've carried this guilt around that, you know, I didn't behave properly.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
But then when you said that's a necessary part, it just lifted it all off of me. It was like a word from God, and I was able to just take the next step after.
Now, let me ask you this. When you were a little girl, did you...
I was not allowed to express my emotions.
Wow. Now, that just seems
yeah,
like that
no
would
wonder.
Make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I was a middle child, and I had to keep it together because everybody else was coming apart.
Okay.
And being upset and having intense feelings when your world is falling apart only makes sense. That's appropriate.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
The other really
yeah,
doesn't
know.
Make sense.
No.
You know, what are you supposed to do with it?
Well, do you have a question for us that we could talk to you about?
Well, based on what I've experienced, the next step is that I was told from a... an experienced therapist that my husband is a high-functioning autistic, and as he ages, it becomes more obvious. When he was younger, it was just like a quirky personality.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't hear a lot about how we interact with people like that.
Hmm. Yeah. Is he high-functioning autistic, or does he have Asperger's?
Asperger's.
At first I thought it was Asperger's, but I don't know. I don't think it is. I think it's more like high functioning.
So does it feel like he's a totally avoidant person?
Yes.
So understanding that would be first, and making it safe for him to be anything other than avoidant would be helpful.
Yeah, but at this age, it doesn't seem like he's willing to go there.
How old is he?
Mid-60s.
Mid-60s. Okay, so the question for us would be what?
How can I learn more about dealing with, a condition like this? And
I would probably go specifically to the groups that are involved in that, some autism support groups or even Asperger's support groups where family members and all of that.
There's a lot more springing up.
Get together. Yeah. So instead of kind of doing it all on your own, I would join something that already exists.
Yeah.
All right.
I just have to look online.
Yeah.
Or a lot of churches have groups like this now.
The opportunity?
Yeah. And let me tell you something else, Sarah. Check out that HBO movie, Temple Grandin.
Oh, it's the best.
If he would watch that with you, I think he would find a lot of himself in that movie. So
I think you might even be able to rent it.
And you can read the book, too.
And to the degree that you can just take him to things that are already there, like whether it's small groups or gatherings or, discussion groups or Bible studies or something where relational structures are just sort of there that he can be in the shadow of and be near, then instead of trying to push him to do something, on his own that's outside of either his capacities or his desires or whatever, if he can just kind of get close to something that already is there, that's usually easier.
Okay. I'm so glad you called, and thanks for the affirmation of our ministry. We have over 900 counselors out there. And if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, there's a good chance we've got a counselor in your area. Also, we have weekend workshops that we do, Every Man's Battle, and we've got the New Life Weekend, and it's all about transformation. And then our Marriage Weekend is in May, and Lose It for Life in October. And by the way, there's something else. It's brand new. It's called the New Life Transformation Center, and it's there in Indianapolis. It's a combined effort between New Life and Heartland Church. And on Sunday night, there's a big speaker meeting. And then on Monday are 12-step groups. And on Tuesday are support groups like Boundaries and Healing is a Choice. If you're in that area, you should call 1-800-HELP-FOR-ME and find out all about that. I think you'll really enjoy that. We'll take a break and we'll come back for our final segment today on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the program. We'll be in the studio most of the day. And as we've been saying, a gift of $50 or more will send you the Everyman's Bible or the Life Recovery Bible. And I know that'll be a great blessing to you. It'll sure be a blessing to us if you can support us. We need your help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out how you can become part of the giving family of New Life Live. We really do need it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest
particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me right now is Jason Martinkus. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Steve.
Jason, you do the Everyman's Battle Workshop every month. And I would love for you to tell us what do you think is probably the number one outcome for a person that goes to that Everyman's Battle weekend?
Oh, wow. Number one outcome. That's hard to pin down. Number one outcome, I think, is that men leave there with a changed heart and they're filled with hope. Most guys that come into the workshop, they're hopeless, they're shame-filled, they're guilt-ridden. They leave there with a new perspective on why they do what they do, and they have hope that this thing doesn't have to own them any longer.
What do you say to the guy who says, look, I just have a higher sex drive than most people. I was born with this, just like Italian men are born with a higher sex drive. What do you say to that person that says, I'm just gifted?
First, I would say chances are you have supersized your sex drive because you've been engaging this thing for so long on such a level that you have actually supersized your sex drive. Mm. But number two, let's just say that you are born with a higher sex drive. You're still called to a standard that is no hint of sexual immorality.
Yeah.
So higher sex drive doesn't equal that you get to act out on it more often.
Yeah. You know, Jason, Henry and I have been talking about how people are over here on one side of life and they're trying to do the moral thing, right and wrong, no pornography and all of this, and they can spend their whole life going back and forth and did I do good today, bad, all this. But there's this whole other life of faith and mission that people are missing. Do you see guys getting into that part of life after they leave there?
Oh, yeah. Sunday morning, that's what we're focused on, is redemption and what God's redemptive story is to be written with our lives. We try to get guys out of the mode of sin management and into a life that is living redemptively.
All right. Now, that is just a great way to say it. All right. Thank you, Jason. If you are a guy that wants to get out of sin management into redemptive living, you call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Jason does those workshops, and he is superb. All right, our final caller is Holly, and Holly's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. WNIV is the station. Hello, Holly.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, and how could we help?
Well, I called about a year and a half ago and talked to Steve. I was in a situation with my husband where he had taken me off of all of our bank accounts twice, and this is the second time he's done it. The first time he's put another man on that I just didn't even know.
What does he say about that?
He said that my spending is excessive, although if you look at the bank accounts, you know that's not the case.
Yeah.
But as soon as this other man got married, he was single at the time, since this other man got married, he put me back on. And then just last year, he took me off again because I had gone to see a divorce lawyer because he put me on this budget.
Now, did you say he put this other man on the accounts?
Yes. Someone I was acquainted with by introduction, and that was all.
Now, why would he put a man on his bank account?
Well, I think you just have to draw your own obvious conclusions to that.
No, I don't know what those would be. What do you mean? Is this an accountant or a financial counselor? It's a partner?
Well, not a financial counselor. It was someone who met at church.
Okay,
so a male partner.
He replaced you with a man.
And then the man got married.
And the man got married about a year later.
Ah, now I get it. Okay.
So, but that's not my question. My question is, When I called you with that scenario, you said, you stopped me, and you said, stop right there, you're already divorced. If he's doing this to you, you know, go get a lawyer, protect yourself. And I did, and I filed for divorce. We're in the middle of that now. It's been about a year, and it's very, very difficult. I've been through all those grief stages you talk about. But yeah. My question today is, something happened beyond all the other things that have happened over the many, many years we've been married. Something happened, I think, 4 or 5 years ago that prompted something with him. But right now, the situation I'm in is I read Stop Walking on Eggshells last week or 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that is my husband. That book is about him. Hmm. So now what do I do knowing, and I've been around the mental health field.
Okay, wait, but let me just stop you for a second there. A lot of people that are borderline personality disorder don't have affairs with other people and put them on their bank accounts.
Well, there had been a history of that also.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Social disorder.
Yeah, okay. Well. So what is your question? You're getting at something here that you should excuse the behavior because he has the disorder?
No. My question is, what do I do now that I know that I think this is really, we were in counseling for years and years, never could get anything to come of it, and now I think I know why. It's
okay.
This was never diagnosed properly.
Okay, and so the question for us is?
The question for you is, as I work my way through this divorce process, how do I keep myself in a healthy state without, of course, that constant mirroring back, projecting back of my own, you know, of his stuff to me. How do I protect myself? I'm in counseling. My counselor is in agreement. He recently wanted to move in, and I said, no, you can't.
Okay, we got 60 seconds. How does she protect?
He recently what?
He recently wanted to move back in, and I said, no, it's not good for either one of us.
You keep firm boundaries with him. It just gives you more information in heading down the road in the path that you're on. And so you keep those firm boundaries with him, and you know not to engage.
Yeah, and that's the external part of it. Mm-hmm. But the internal part is that there need to be some boundaries between you and the accusing voices in your head. Because if you're having all these second questions and you're accusing yourself and this, that, and the other, that just kind of shows how somebody who's an accuser can get a foothold to begin with. And you need to clear your head of all of that stuff from wherever it came from, and that's what your counselor would be helping you with.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad that you called. I wish we had more time. I'd also try to surround myself with some healthy women from a support group, a recovery group, or just a women's Bible study where you can talk through life. And I'm so glad you called. We're sorry for what you're going through. We have so many things to offer. 900 or so counselors around the country, weekend workshops like the marriage workshop in May. Every month we do Every Man's Battle. We're coming up here in Philadelphia. We're going to be doing the Transformation Weekend, the New Life Weekend, and then we'll have Lose It for Life. If you're interested in any of these things, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website at newlife.com. Also, in the Indianapolis area, we have the New Life Transformation Center that just started last week, and we're excited about that. And we're hoping to do more of these around the country. We can't do them without you, and if you support us with a gift of $50 or more, I'll either send you this Every Man's Bible. It's a great gift to a man or a great gift for yourself, and the Life Recovery Bible that's helped so many people. 2 million of these Life Recovery Bibles are out there. And it is just so wonderful to see prisoners and prisoners in marriages use them and find the freedom that God has for us. And that's our gift to you for a gift of $50 or more. If you join Club New Life, we'll send you a leather-bound Life Recovery Bible, our gift to you for becoming part of the New Life Giving family. Every month we are kind of on pins and needles as to whether or not we're going to make it. And here we are starting off in April, and we want to start it off as positively as we possibly can, because, you know, summer is around the corner, and this is one of the months where people truly focus on giving. And if you've thought about it and God's nudging you, please support this ministry. My thanks to Dr. Henry Cloud and all of that he gives to this program, and you, Dr. Jill Hubbard, all that you give and provide this program, and to all of you that watch or listen or support us. Thank you. We love you. We care about you. We'll be praying for you in the morning right here on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.